Morning, and welcome this Ohana Sunday. It's a great Sunday. The Lord has provided us with wonderful and beautiful weather, and we had the privilege of observing three baptisms. It doesn't get any better than that. Very grateful to the Lord for all that's going on this morning. Let's turn together to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Beginning with verse 12. Romans 8, verse 12. Let's all rise for the reading of God's word. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption, as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words that have been penned by the Apostle Paul. And we thank you that we have had a chance to look at it when we studied the book of Romans. And Father, we pray that you will help us to remember the things we learned and what it means to be children by adoption. We thank you for this, O Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, for those of you who are with us every Sunday, you notice that I'm out of uniform. I normally wear black, but since this is Ohana Sunday and I have a whole bunch of Hawaiian shirts that people have lovingly given to me, thought I'd wear a different shirt today. And so I actually had a light blue shirt picked out. And my wife said, no, you should dress in this one, the green one. And I didn't know why, but I just said dutifully, okay. And then when I got to the parking lot, we parked, she says, yeah, because you match the color scheme of our church. I looked around and the sign, the banner that was made is the same color. The doors of our church are the same color. I do match the color scheme of our church campus. So if you don't see me today, it's because I'm standing in front of a door and I am camouflaged into the door. So it's not that I'm not here, it's just that you can't see me because I am dressed the color of our church. I wish he hadn't told me that. Now I'm self-conscious of it. I wish I didn't tell you that, because now you're going to be self-conscious with me. Now this morning is Ohana Sunday for our church family. It's something we're experiencing today with the hope of having Ohana Sundays on a regular basis in the future. So this is sort of our trial Ohana Sunday to see how it goes and how we're going to be doing it, hopefully, in the future. Now this morning is a very special Ohana Sunday because we are not only have had baptisms, but we are officially going to be greeting the Seto family. And so it's a very, very special and unique Sunday indeed. And so the message this morning will be about the usage of the word Ohana. The usage of the word Ohana. Ohana is a metaphor for the church. Now there are several metaphors in the Bible regarding the church. And Ohana is one of them. Now let's begin with the meaning of a metaphor. The meaning of a metaphor. It's the first point in your outline, the meaning of a metaphor. Now, according to Merriam-Webster, it's a figure of speech in which a word or phrase literally denoting one kind of object or idea is used in place of another to suggest a likeness or analogy between them. That's the definition of a metaphor. And you hear preachers and you hear teachers say all the time, this is a metaphor. So this is what a metaphor is. Now, your dictionary, it's a website, metaphor is a figure of speech containing an implied comparison in which a word or phrase ordinarily and primarily used of one thing is applied to another. That's a metaphor. Here's some synonyms for metaphor. Symbol, image, comparison, analogy, and representation. So that's what a metaphor is. Let me give you some examples of a metaphor. My computer is a dinosaur. So people could say that if you have a really old, archaic computer. And they may say, oh, man, your computer, it's a dinosaur. Now, you can call an elderly pastor a dinosaur. You could. I'm not suggesting that, but you could. Let's say I go speak at a college conference full of just young people, which means the worship will have the lights and the smoke, right? So I go to and I'm going to read the scriptures. And so I pick up my Bible to read the scriptures, not a device. And so they notice that I'm reading out of a thing called a book. And they may say, boy, that guy is a dinosaur. Meaning I'm kind of archaic in the fact that I don't use an electronic device. You know what my response would be? Man, I like dinosaurs. I think they're cool. My favorite dinosaur growing up was T-Rex, Tyrannosaurus Rex. And then as I grew up, I realized, man, if I were Tyrannosaurus Rex, I couldn't play basketball. Can you imagine getting a rebound with those arms? You know, I heard they redid the Disney ride, so I went on it just recently, and actually it kind of looks the same to me. I didn't really see that much difference, but I'm sure it's different. I'm just not a guy that notices a lot of the fine details and things that I go see. But there was Tyrannosaurus Rex, which was my favorite part of the ride when I was a kid growing up. I got to see T-Rex with his short arms. Here's another example of metaphor. The youngest child is the black sheep of the family. So black sheep is a metaphor. And what that means is they're sort of like separated from the family, because whenever you had a black sheep in the presence of a flock, the other white sheep would ignore the black sheep. So that's where that metaphor comes from. Or perhaps another metaphor, laughter is the best medicine. Now, laughter isn't really medicine, but medicine does us good. And what the metaphor means, laughter does us good. So that's what a metaphor is. Now, let's take a look at the meaning of ohana. Ohana. The meaning of ohana. Now, the word ohana comes from the Hawaiian culture. Most of you probably already know that. And that's why I'm sort of dressed in a Hawaiian shirt. I'm not sort of dressed. I am dressed in a Hawaiian shirt. Now, according to Wikipedia, which is always correct, at least in this case it is, the word ohana means family in the Hawaiian language, but in a much wider sense to include not only one's closer relatives, but also one's cousins, in-laws, friends, race, and other neighbors. And basically it means everyone who lives on that island is part of the ohana. Now, ohana is a very important concept in the Hawaiian culture. It's extremely important. It's a central theme of the movie Lilo and Stitch. She pronounces it Lilo, right? Lilo and Stitch. I understand the director or writer, the creators of it visited Hawaii, and they were so impressed with the feeling of family there. The tour guide they had seemed to know everyone on the island, right? So it really impressed them, and so they implemented that into the movie Lilo and Stitch. Now, Stitch is an extraterrestrial. And Stitch was created to destroy. And in the movie, Stitch learns about ohana. Here's a clip from the movie. Isn't that a great scene? Actually, I didn't see the movie. but I saw this scene, and man, I started to tear up. I thought, we got to see this movie. I got to go see this movie. Rain and I are going to see this movie. So I don't think it's playing anywhere, right? Yeah, I think it's been a while since that movie was produced and created. But I love that. I love that clip. You see, and Lilo teaches Stitch that ohana means family, and family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten. Or forgotten. See, in the church, we're meant to embrace that particular idea. You know, nobody gets left behind. No one gets forgotten. We're all part of the ohana, or family, of God. Now I'm going to do something that's extremely out of character for me. I'm going to quote USC coach Clay Helton. Now, I like Clay Helton. I root for Clay Helton because he's a brother in Jesus Christ. All right. So, but at the conclusion of the USC's incredible victory over Texas, that was a great game, they interviewed Coach Helton. And during the interview, he was asked about freshman walk-on kicker Chase McGrath, who kicked the tying and winning field goals. And this guy's a walk-on freshman. And this is what he said, Coach Helton. What a valiant effort from a freshman to do his job and help the Trojan family. Most coaches would call it the Trojan nation. That's the reference they usually use, the nation. But Helton's a believer. And I think Helton understands the value and the importance of family. And so he refers to the greater USC community as the Trojan family. And that really blessed me. When I heard that interview, it really blessed me that he used the word family, because family is so very important. Now, let me share with you the three major, or at least three major metaphors for the church. Three major metaphors for the church. I'm going to go briefly mention two of them. First of all, the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. The bride of Christ. It's in many different places in the New Testament, but this one is the one I'm going to quote this morning. Revelation 19, verses 7 through 8 says this, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." Now, the Lamb is Jesus and the bride is the church. "It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And so in Revelation and other places like Ephesians chapter 5, the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. That's the metaphor. Now, the emphasis is purity and righteousness, as described in Revelation 19. That's the way Jesus wants to present his church, righteous and pure and holy. And that's what husbands are supposed to do for their wives, as husbands are supposed to be like Jesus, and the bride is supposed to be like the church. Here's a second metaphor, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. This is referred to quite often in the New Testament. The church has the body of Christ. Verses 4 and 5 of Romans 12 says this, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." So here the metaphor is a body, a human body, and that a body has many members, many parts, and so does the church. And the emphasis here is on function. Members have different responsibilities, different gifts, different talents, and so they function differently in the body of Christ, the church. Now the third metaphor is the family or ohana of God. The family or ohana of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Here's one of the references. Ephesians 2:19. "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens." No, Stitch was an alien, right? And in the movie, he becomes no longer an alien. "You are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." And the word household is a reference to family. Here the metaphor in Ephesians chapter 2 is the metaphor of a family. And the emphasis is relationships. Relationships. Therefore, whenever we make a reference to our church family, it is about everyone who is a part of this church, this body, this bride of Jesus. And it's not a reference to nuclear families within the family of God. I think sometimes when we say, okay, this is a church family event, sometimes people who don't have their family members here feel a little left out because they think the reference has to do with nuclear families. But it doesn't. It's a biblical reference to a metaphor. We are all part of the family of God that calls Evergreen SGV home. So this is our home, and we're all members of one another, like a body. We're all the bride of Jesus, walking in purity and holiness as best we can. And we are the ohana of God. We are family. I don't know if you noticed or not, but over the years, this is the metaphor I use the most in reference to our church. I call us the family of God, or our church family. If you can see it in my writing, the things I write, things I say, most of the time, I refer to us as the family of God, our church family, which means everyone who is a part of this church. Now, let's take a look at the ohana of God. The ohana of God, this one particular metaphor. How do we become a part of the ohana of God? How we become a part of the ohana of God? Turn to Romans chapter 8. This is the verse we read at the beginning of the service. Romans 8, beginning with verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This is a reference to family, being a child of God. Verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Slavery meaning bondage to the flesh, dwelling constantly and acting constantly in our sinfulness. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. So we are adopted by God into his family, the Ohana of God, upon confession of faith in Jesus Christ. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, another reference to family. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if we indeed suffer with him so that we may be also be glorified with him. Not only are we're legitimate children, that's the reference here. You're not adopted and somehow illegitimate because you're not an heir. You have an inheritance, the same as the Son himself. And that inheritance is to live forever in the glory of God. And so we become a part of the Ohana by adoption. But how do we become fellow heirs? Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This is way back when we began the study of the gospel according to John. We studied these verses, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, when we confess our faith in Jesus, believe he died on the cross, that he rose from the grave, if we believe we are sinners, which we are, when we confess our faith in Jesus and ask Jesus to live within us, the Bible says we're cleansed of our sinfulness. We become the bride of Christ. And we become a part of his body, the body of Christ, the church. And we are family. We become God's children. Hence, we are a part of the family of God, each and every one who has confessed their name, the name of Jesus. Now, what about Ohana and baptism? See, we have baptism today. That's what makes this an especially glorious Ohana Sunday. Well, baptism is an ordinance and a public declaration indicating that a person has confessed their faith in Jesus and have become a part of the Ohana of God or the family of God. But it's not just a personal and individual act of proclamation. It is actually a declaration. I am now a part of the family of God. And so when those who went through the waters of baptism this morning, you know, when they experienced the water, and when they came out of the water, of course it reflects having a newness of life like Jesus. That's part and parcel to the act of baptism. But it's also a declaration not only of salvation, but man, now I am a part of the family of God. I've confessed my faith. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. My sins are forgiven. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to be perfect, but I am forgiven. And I am now a part of a greater family, a family beyond my nuclear family, a family beyond my ancestral family. I am a part of the family or Ohana of God. And it's a blessing to be a part of a family of God. I've been blessed to be a part of this church family for 20 years as a new church plant and 40 years overall. And I've always considered this to be my church family. I'm your senior pastor, but I think more than anything, I'm your brother in Christ. And that's the thing we hold in common. It's something to be joyful about, and I'm so thankful to God, and I give him praise and glory for it. You know, we hope we're going to have periodic Ohana Sundays, because we have two services. And in some respects, it almost feels like we have one church family first service and another church family second service. I can tell that by where you sit. I mean, like joint services, I know people come a little bit early so they can get their favorite seat because somebody else has that seat, the other service. It was that way when I first started. When I first started at Evergreen, there was about 35, 40 people on Sunday mornings. I knew where everyone sat. I can close my eyes now and I can picture where everybody sat, right? But Ohana Sunday, when we have them, it'll have to be a joint service, because we want to get everyone together. And then we'll have a time of some sort of fellowship thereafter. This first one, we have food vendors coming in. Thank you for your tremendous cooperation in purchasing those tickets. And they're going to come, and we always wanted to try to see what happened if we have food vendors on campus and see how quick it is, how slow it is, and then make adjustments. Also, people can bring stuff to have picnics, you know, they bring their own food. I think some have brought their own food. We're going to have some fun activities. So on a Sunday is a special Sunday of celebration. Today, on top of all of that, we're going to be greeting the Seto family. And they've been here for a while, but they've been so busy settling in and becoming a part of the community and starting a brand new school and just a whole different routine that we have postponed greeting them officially until this Sunday, which is our first Ohana Sunday. And we'd like you to meet the Setos. You've met Rocky preaches, so you get to see him. But we have a little video of the Seto family that we'd like to share with you at this moment. Now, one of the things we would like to do is pray for the Seto family. So I'm going to ask our moderator, Keith Fukuyama, to come forward. And he's going to be praying for the Fukuyama. He'll pray for the Fukuyama family, too. They're sitting all right there. They sit there every Sunday. But for the Seto family. So Rocky and Charlotte, the kids, you'd like to come forward?
Okay, why don't we pray? Father, I just thank you for, there's this joy in my heart. And Father, I just thank you that, Lord, you are taking care of this church. Lord, that you have brought the Seto family here to continue the ministry that Pastor Corey has started. Father, when I was asking what I should pray for, the word bridges came to mind. And so, Father, I just ask that you would help to establish bridges between the Seto family and this church. Father, with Pastor Rocky, I just ask that you would allow him, Lord, just the connections that he needs to continue fulfilling what you have in store for him. Father, that all these roadblocks that may be in his way may be taken away. And Lord, for Sharla, Father, I just ask that you would be with her. Pastor's wife is a hard thing. And so, Father, I just ask that you would allow her, Lord, whatever she needs to help fulfill that role. But Lord, help her to be the person that you want her to be. The Lord, the person that you created her to be. And bring those people into her life, Lord, that could build her up. And Lord, establish her as the woman that you have created to be. And Father, for Kehlani, Mia, Troy, and Timothy, Father, I just ask that you would bring to them friends. Lord, friends that will stick closer to them than brothers and sisters. Lord, friends that they could grow up with here at the church. Lord, that they could call on, but that they could count on in their time of need to come over and just to minister to them. So, Father, I just pray for the Seto family. Lord, I pray that you would just use them mightily here in whatever you have in store. So thank you, Lord. We thank you for them. In your son's name, amen.
Oh, yes. Thanks so much for everything, and thank you for praying, Brother Keith. I have my Charlotte's mother and father here, Norm and Cheryl. You can stand up. Maybe stand up, please. Yeah, from Washington. So, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Corey.
Yeah, what a blessing, huh? Isn't that a great interview? They told me that's a YouTube-type interview, so that was really great. Let me ask for the Lord to bless this time, shall we? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and we praise you and we love you. We love you so very much for including us as part of your family, as adopted children, fellow heirs, fully fellow heirs with Jesus. And Lord, we are just so grateful for that. We thank you that we get the fellowship together as a church family. We thank you that you have brought the Setos to us here in Southern California. I know it's been a difficult departure. They have such loving people back home in Seattle, and now they have a new home here in Southern California. And we pray you will bless them here as much as you bless them in Seattle. Father, we thank you for family and friends that are here to celebrate with the Setos and with our church family. And we give you praise and glory that you have surrounded the Setos with people who love them and will care for them all the days of their lives. Bless the children as they make new friends. And Lord, we thank you for their presence in our church family. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, pray now that you bless the food that we have. Bless each table. Thank you for the wonderful time of fellowship and food we'll have. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise together.